in Mandarin.
这里是美国之音的中文广播，现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
各位听众您好，欢迎您收听美国之音在2019年3月14号在美国东岸时间早上5点，也就是北京时间傍晚6点，我们从美国首都华盛顿开始的中文广播。首先播报国际新闻。美国总统特朗普星期三在白宫对记者说，他不急于和中国签署贸易协议，协议不好不会签。特朗普在与白宫顾问商谈后对媒体说，双方还是很有可能签署一个贸易协议的，因为中国非常想要达成一个协议。特朗普说，他了解习近平可能担心与他会面时会放弃签署协议。最近有报道说，中方因为担心特金会上特朗普放弃会谈的一幕在美中峰会上重演。特朗普曾经表示，美中协议将由他和习近平在他说的签约峰会上最终完成。有报道援引知情人士的话说，习近平或于本月底结束欧洲之行后，前往特朗普在佛罗里达州的私人俱乐部海湖庄园与特朗普举行峰会。美国军方高级官员说，美国已经准备好以更大的动作回击发动网络攻击的对手。美军网络司令部兼国家安全局局长保罗·中曾根星期三在众议院军事委员会作证的时候说，来自中国、俄罗斯、朝鲜和伊朗的网络攻击越来越老练，越来越频繁。稍早前，美国海军一份评估报告说，中国和俄罗斯对海军及国防承包商实施了猛烈的网络攻击，导致大量重大数据泄露。报告说，中国从中获得不少不可估量的近期和长远军事优势，并且改变了全球力量格局。一位美国高级官员说，中国提升军力对美国及盟国的利益构成威胁，尤其是在西太平洋和南中国海。美国国防部副部长邦办阿兰·夏福说，中国的东风21型和东风26型导弹可以覆盖这个地区的海上以及陆地目标，包括美军重要的供给基地关岛。他说，中国正在制造先进的第五代战机，而且通过盗窃知识产权发展军事和产业技术。中国的歼20战斗机的座舱罩和起落架与美国的 F-35 闪电二型战机十分的类似。美国国务院3月13号发布2018人权国别报告，对全球近200个国家过去一年的人权和劳工状况加以记录。美国国务卿蓬佩奥在报告发布会上点名中国，称中国在侵犯人权的问题上无人可比。美国国务院2018年人权国别报告在涉及中国的部分，从多方面列举了中国政府侵犯人权的行为，包括政府对公民个人任意拘捕、失踪、实施酷刑甚至非法杀害，对记者、律师、作家、网民、异议人士、访民及其家人进行暴力攻击和刑事指控，网络审查和封锁，干预和和平集会的权利和结社自由，严格限制国内外非政府组织，严厉限制公民的旅行自由和宗教自由，强行遣返朝鲜难民，在西藏打压言论、宗教、侵袭、结社和集会自由等等。报告特别提到新疆在教育营的问题。美国驻韩国军队最高指挥官说，美军与韩国军队取消大型年度春季联合军演不会削弱联军对付朝鲜军事威胁的能力。韩联社星期四发表了一天前独家采访驻韩美军司令艾布拉斯姆上将的消息，报道说，艾布拉斯姆上将表示，你们今晚可以安心睡觉，因为联军做好了准备。星期二，美韩联军完成了首个代号为同盟的新系列联合军演。来自7个国家的十几名科学家呼吁全球自愿停止对人类 DNA 编辑的临床使用。美国之音国际新闻。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程，课程题材以美国的商业实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，在第一课中我们重点讲怎样给人做介绍，电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Michael Epstein. Mr. Epstein is in his office in San Jose, California. Hello, Mr. Epstein.
Hello.
Today we're going to talk about the first time Ms. Graham met Mr. Blake.
On Wednesday, June 12th of last year.
That's right. They met in the lobby of Mr. Blake's hotel, and you introduced Mr. Blake to Ms. Graham. Let's listen to the first part of that conversation. You had just arrived at the hotel, and you were looking for Mr. Blake. Let's listen.
Now, let's see. Where is he? Oh, there he is, over there reading the newspaper. Mr. Blake?
Oh, hi, Mike. How are you today?
It's good to see you, Charles.This is our vice president, Shirley Graham. Shirley, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Blake.
Pleased to meet you, Ms. Graham.
Mr. Blake and Ms. Graham had never met before, is that right?
Yes, that's right.Mr. Blake and I met in Beijing at a trade show, but Ms. Graham had never met Mr. Blake.
So they were getting a first impression of each other.
Yes, that's right. It was important.
On our next show, we'll listen to more of this conversation.
Okay.
Thank you very much for being on our show.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break.
文化点滴。
Today, we're going to talk about business introductions in American companies. The email question is, how should I introduce a colleague to an American?
Well, just remember, you have two responsibilities. First, you have to make sure that each person learns the other person's name and business title. That's the easy part.
Why is that the easy part?
Because you can use standard language, like, Harry, I'd like you to meet Sally.Sally is our vice president of marketing.
Saying, I'd like you to meet, is pretty standard.
But after you've introduced the two people, you should try to help them continue the conversation.
Because when two people meet for the first time, they may not know what to say to each other.
Yes, that's exactly right. So you can add some information that will help them start talking. For example, you can say, Harry just got back from Singapore.Then Sally can say, how was your trip? Or, how did you like Singapore?
So you help them to begin to make small talk.
Yes, exactly. Small talk makes everyone very comfortable.
Thanks again, Gary, for your valuable information.
I'm always glad to help.
商务对话。
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Harry Abrams. Harry is our vice president of marketing.
Yes, come in.
Harry, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'd like you to meet Mary Jenkins, our new office manager.
It's nice to meet you, Mary.
Nice to meet you too, Mr. Abrams.
Mary was office manager at Global Electronics.With your old friend Bob.
Oh, really? How is Bob?
He's doing very well. He's a vice president now.
I'm glad to hear it.
Mary, you mentioned that you like to ski. Well, Harry is an excellent skier.
I'd be glad to talk to you later about some good places to ski.
Sounds great.
Well, we'd better be moving on. We have a lot more introductions to make today.
It was nice to meet you.
Same here.
Gary 提示。
Today I'll be talking about how to make introductions. Sometimes you will need to introduce one of your business colleagues or co-workers to another. And sometimes you will be introduced to someone else. So it is very useful to know the expressions to use in these situations. Earlier, we listened as Mr. Epstein introduced Ms. Graham and Mr. Blake. He first introduced Ms. Graham to Mr. Blake using the expression, "This is."
This is our Vice President, Shirley Graham.
He introduces her by her title, Vice President, and by her full name, Shirley Graham. Then he introduces Mr. Blake to Ms. Graham. Again, he uses the expression, "This is."
Shirley, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics.
Mr. Epstein calls Ms. Graham by her first name, Shirley, because they work together and are comfortable using first names. Mr. Blake and Ms. Graham are meeting for the first time, so they use last names. They say Mr. Blake and Ms. Graham.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Blake.
Pleased to meet you, Ms. Graham.
And in today's business dialogue, we learn some other expressions for making introductions. To begin the introduction, the president tells Mary the name and title of the company vice president.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Harry Abrams. Harry is our vice president of marketing.
The expression, "I'd like to introduce you to," can be used when you introduce someone or before you introduce them. Let's listen again.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Harry Abrams. Harry is our vice president of marketing.
Yes, come in.
Harry, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'd like you to meet Mary Jenkins, our new office manager.
The company president uses the expression, "I'd like you to meet." "I'd like you to meet" and "I'd like to introduce you to" are two common ways to make introductions. Notice that Mary calls Harry Abrams Mr. Abrams because he is company vice president.
It's nice to meet you, Mary.
Nice to meet you too, Mr. Abrams.
They say, "It's nice to meet you," because they are meeting for the first time. When they see each other again, they will say, "It's nice to see you." The president then gives some additional information about Mary.
Mary was office manager at Global Electronics with your old friend Bob.
Oh, really? How is Bob?
He's doing very well. He's a vice president now.
I'm glad to hear it.
Making an introduction is more than giving a name and job title. You can also help people feel comfortable with each other through small talk. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary.
本星期第二课，我们重点讲解了给人做介绍和向人问候的语言。电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Charles Blake. Mr. Blake is in his office at International Robotics in Beijing. Hello, Mr. Blake.
Hello.
On our last show, we spoke with Mr. Epstein. We talked about your first meeting with Shirley Graham.
Yes, I was a little nervous about meeting her.I knew that Mr. Epstein wanted to do business with me, but I knew that Shirley Graham had some concerns. So it was very important to me to establish a good personal relationship with her.
Well, today we're going to listen to your first conversation with her.
In the lobby of my hotel?
That's right.
Okay.
Now, let's see. Where is he? Oh, there he is, over there reading the newspaper.Mr. Blake.
Oh, hi, Mike. How are you today?
It's good to see you, Charles. This is our vice president, Shirley Graham. Shirley, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Blake.
Pleased to meet you, Ms. Graham.
How are you today?
Fine. And you?
Just fine. Mike tells me that he took you around San Francisco yesterday.
We had a great time yesterday.We went down to Fisherman's Wharf and we had lunch. And then we drove around San Francisco and saw a bit of the city.
Is this your first trip to the West Coast?
Well, not really. I was here about 7 years ago, just for a very brief visit. And now I have a little bit more time to see some of the city.
What did you think of Ms. Graham?
Oh, I thought she was very friendly.
So you felt that you could do business with her?
Well, I didn't know, but I hoped so. I knew there were several important issues we needed to discuss, but I felt that I could convince her to buy our industrial robots.
Well, we'll see how the negotiations went as our show continues. Thank you very much for being our guest.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break. Today we're going to talk about business conversations. The email question is, why do Americans talk so much? When I'm with American businessmen, they never stop talking.
Well, it's true. Most Americans do talk a lot. Americans keep talking in conversations because silence makes a bad impression on most Americans.
Do you think so?
Yes, I do. If you are silent, the other people may think that you are bored. They may even think that you don't like them.
So it makes a bad impression.
Yes, so Americans use a variety of strategies to avoid silence.
Really?
Yes. For example, listeners use a lot of expressions like, uh-huh, and really. These expressions tell the speaker that we are interested in what they are saying. Uh-huh is a little word, but it is better than being silent.
I see.
And if we need time to think, or let me see, tells the listeners, I will say something soon. Is better than thinking in silence.
That's very interesting information, Gary. Thanks again. Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Mr. Myers?
Yes, that's right.
I'm Sandra Powers. I work with Mr. Malone.
Ms. Powers, how do you do? I've been looking forward to meeting you.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Myers. You've come a very long way on this trip, so I hope things are going well. Welcome to San Francisco.
Gary 提示
Today I'll be talking about how to introduce yourself. Sometimes you will arrange a meeting with someone that you've never met before. If there is no one to introduce you, you will have to introduce yourself. In today's business dialogue, Ms. Powers has never met Mr. Myers before. So first of all, she has to confirm if the person she sees is really Mr. Myers. She could say, Excuse me, are you Mr. Myers? Instead, she confirms in a different way. She says his name as if it were a question. Mr. Myers? Let's listen.
Mr. Myers?
Yes, that's right.
After she confirms that the man is Mr. Myers, Ms. Powers introduces herself.
I'm Sandra Powers. I work with Mr. Malone.
Ms. Powers, how do you do? I've been looking forward to meeting you.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Myers.
Mr. Myers uses the formal expression, how do you do? You should only use the expression, how do you do, when you meet someone for the first time. At other times, you can say, how are you?
Ms. Powers, how do you do? I've been looking forward to meeting you.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Myers.
Now let's listen to a different conversation. Ms. Powers is looking for Mr. Myers of Dover Limited. But this time, she talks to someone who is not Mr. Myers.
Mr. Myers?
Excuse me?
Are you Mr. Myers from Dover Limited?
No, I'm afraid not. Why don't you ask reception to page him?
Oh, thank you. I'll do that. Sorry to bother you.
Oh, not at all.
The man uses the polite expression, no, I'm afraid not, to tell Ms. Powers that he is not Mr. Myers.
Are you Mr. Myers from Dover Limited?
No, I'm afraid not.
Ms. Powers apologizes to the man, using the expression, "Sorry to bother you."
Sorry to bother you.
Oh, not at all.
His response, "Oh, not at all," means that it's okay, it's no problem. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary.
第三课，我们重点讲怎样用客气的言辞打断别人的谈话。首先是电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Shirley Graham. Ms. Graham is in her office at Advanced Technologies in San Jose, California. Hello, Ms. Graham.
Hello.
On our show, we've been talking with Mr. Epstein and Mr. Blake about the first time you met Mr. Blake.
Yes, I remember that meeting very well. Mr. Epstein had spoken very highly of both Mr. Blake and his company. But I still needed to find out more about Mr. Blake and his robots. That's why we scheduled this lunch meeting. I was looking forward to meeting him and finding out more about his company.
Well, let's listen to your conversation with Mr. Blake.
Mike tells me that he took you around San Francisco yesterday.
We had a great time yesterday. We went down to Fisherman's Wharf and we had lunch. And then we drove around San Francisco and saw a bit of the city.
Is this your first trip to the West Coast?
Well, not really. I was here about 7 years ago, just for a very brief visit. And now I have a little bit more time to see some of the city.
Well, I hate to interrupt, but we have a car outside, and we have reservations at 12:15. So why don't we get over to the restaurant, and we can continue our conversation there? Okay?
Okay.
Sounds fine to me.
Okay, let's go.
What were your first impressions of Mr. Blake?
Well, he seemed very friendly and very professional. He had a good handshake, and his eye contact was good. He gave a good first impression.
I see. Thank you for talking with us today.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break. Today we're going to talk about interrupting. The email question is, I have trouble interrupting in English. Can you help me?
Well, interrupting is sometimes necessary, but it can be rather difficult.
Why?
Because you don't want to interrupt someone in the middle of a sentence. The best time to interrupt someone is between sentences.
Why is that difficult?
Because the time between sentences is often very short, less than 1 second.
That's a really short time.
Yes, you have to say something like, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you have to say it really fast. It's usually easier to get the person's attention visually so that they will stop talking.
How do you do that?
Well, you can move close to the person, establish eye contact, and open your mouth a little. That shows that you want to say something, and they may stop talking.
That's a good idea.
One last strategy is to point up with the index finger and say, excuse me. Then the person may stop talking long enough for you to interrupt.
Those are wonderful strategies for a very difficult skill. Thanks, Gary. Dialogue 1.
第一段对话。
But Mary, we can't possibly finish by Tuesday.
But that's our deadline. You'll have to find a way.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but there's a Mr. Walters waiting to see you. He says he has a 2 o'clock appointment.
Oh, is it 2 o'clock already? Sorry, Bob. We'll have to continue this some other time.
Dialogue 2.
第二段对话。
And then I flew to Los Angeles and stayed with my wife's sister. She took us around the city. We went shopping in Beverly Hills and visited UCLA.
Excuse me for interrupting, but it's time for the production meeting.
I thought the meeting was tomorrow.
No, it's today.
Oh, thanks for reminding me.
Dialogue 3.
第三段对话.
And so I think we should delay the decision until after the board meeting.
But it can't wait until then.
Excuse me, Ms. Harris, but Mr. Diego is on the phone. He says it's urgent.
Okay. Sorry, Sam. I've got to take this call. We'll talk about it later.
No problem.
Gary 提示
Today I'll be talking about how to interrupt. Sometimes when people are talking, you may need to interrupt them. Of course, whenever possible, you should wait until it is your turn to speak. But when you need immediate action, you may have to interrupt. For example, Mr. Epstein interrupts Mr. Blake and Ms. Graham to let them know that it is time to leave. Mr. Epstein uses the polite expression, I hate to interrupt, but...
Well, I hate to interrupt, but we have a car outside, and we have reservations at 12:15. So why don't we get over to the restaurant, and we can continue our conversation there?
He suggests that they continue their conversation at the restaurant. In today's business dialogues, we see other examples of interruptions. In the first dialogue, Bob and Mary are talking about an important deadline. Sam has to interrupt to let Mary know that someone is waiting to see her.
But Mary, we can't possibly finish by Tuesday.
But that's our deadline. You'll have to find a way.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but there's a Mr. Walters waiting to see you. He says he has a 2 o'clock appointment.
Oh, is it 2 o'clock already? Sorry, Bob. We'll have to continue this some other time.
Sam uses the polite expression, I'm sorry to interrupt, but... He uses this expression to get Mary's attention and to interrupt the conversation. In business dialogue 2, Joseph is telling Tara about his trip to California. She interrupts his story to remind him that the production meeting is going to begin.
And then I flew to Los Angeles and stayed with my wife's sister. She took us around the city. We went shopping in Beverly Hills and visited UCLA.
Excuse me for interrupting, but it's time for the production meeting.
I thought the meeting was tomorrow.
No, it's today.
Oh, thanks for reminding me.
She uses the small sound, and the expression, excuse me for interrupting, but, to get his attention. In this case, Joseph didn't know there was a meeting, and he thanks Tara for reminding him. In dialogue 3, the young woman uses the expression, excuse me, and the person's name to interrupt the conversation.
And so I think we should delay the decision until after the board meeting.
But it can't wait until then.
Excuse me, Ms. Harris, but Mr. Diego is on the phone. He says it's urgent.
Okay. Sorry, Sam. I've got to take this call. We'll talk about it later.
No problem.
In each of these cases, the person uses a polite expression to interrupt and to give the important news. If your news is important, the person will be happy that you have interrupted. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary. Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
各位听众，今天的商务通英语就复习到这里。谢谢各位收听，我们下星期再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
美国之音，国际新闻。 美国总统特朗普星期三在白宫对记者说，他不急于和中国签署贸易协议，协议不好不会签。特朗普在与白宫顾问商谈后对媒体说，双方还是很有可能签署一个贸易协议的，因为中国非常想要达成一个协议。特朗普说，他了解习近平可能担心与他会面时会放弃签署协议。近日有报道说，中方因为担心特金会上特朗普放弃会谈的一幕在美中峰会上重演。特朗普曾经表示，美中协议将由他和习近平在他说的签约峰会上最终完成。有报道援引知情人士的话说，习近平或于本月底结束欧洲之行后，前往特朗普在佛罗里达州的私人俱乐部海湖庄园与特朗普举行峰会。美国军方高级官员说，美国已经准备好以更大的动作回击发动网络攻击的对手。美军网络司令部兼国家安全局局长保罗·中曾根星期三在众议院军事委员会作证的时候说，来自中国、俄罗斯、朝鲜和伊朗的网络攻击越来越老练，越来越频繁。稍早前，美国海军一份评估报告说，中国和俄罗斯对海军及国防承包商实施了猛烈的网络攻击，导致大量重大数据泄露。报告说，中国从中获得不可估量的近期和长远军事优势，并改变了全球力量格局。在同一听证会上，国防部负责国土安全的助理部长拉普阿诺表示，五角大楼希望采取更大的动作做出回应，并让攻击者付出代价，能遏阻敌手实施更多的网络攻击。美国去年对国家网络安全战略做出了15年来的首次更新。一位美国高级官员说，中国提升军力对美国及盟国的利益构成威胁，尤其是在西太平洋和南中国海。美国国防部副部长邦办阿兰·夏福说，中国的东风21型和东风26型导弹可以覆盖这个地区的海上以及陆地目标，包括美军重要的攻击基地关岛。夏福说，中国正在制造先进的第五代战机，而且通过盗窃知识产权发展军事和产业技术。中国的歼20战斗机的座舱罩和起落架与美国的 F-35 闪电二型战机十分类似。他还说，中国海军已经扩充到大约300条舰只的规模，其中包括一艘航空母舰。美国国务院3月13号发布2018年人权国别报告，对全球近200个国家过去一年的人权和劳工状况加以记录。美国国务卿蓬佩奥在报告发布会上点名中国，称中国在侵犯人权的问题上无人可比。美国国务院2018人权国别报告在涉及中国的部分，从多方面列举了中国政府侵犯人权的行为，包括政府对公民个人任意拘捕、失踪、实施酷刑甚至非法杀害，对记者、律师、作家、网民、异议人士、访民及其家人进行暴力攻击和刑事指控，网络审查和封锁，干预和平集会的权利和结社自由，严格限制国内外非政府组织，严厉限制公民的旅行自由和宗教自由，强行遣返朝鲜难民，在西藏打压言论、宗教、迁徙、结社和集会自由等等。报告特别提到新疆再教育营的问题。美国驻韩国军队最高指挥官说，美军与韩国军队取消大型年度春季联合军演不会削弱联军对付朝鲜军事威胁的能力。韩联社星期四发表了一天前独家采访驻韩美军司令艾布拉姆斯上将的消息。报道说，埃布拉姆斯上将表示，你们今晚可以安心睡觉，因为联军做好了准备。星期二，美韩联军完成了首个代号为同盟的新系列联合军演。来自七个国家的十几名科学家呼吁全球自愿停止对人类 DNA 编辑的临床使用，也就是通过精子、卵子和胚胎遗传性基因进行改变。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目，因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
各位观众朋友晚上好，欢迎收看 VOA 卫视3月13号星期三的时事大家谈，我是宇宙。两会呢进入了闭幕阶段，房地产税议题对于民众而言呢是最具切肤之痛的。本次李克强的政府工作报告呢再次提出了房地产税立法问题，有分析称这是政府工作报告连续两年提出关于房地产税的相关内容，也是他近年来第三次提及房地产税。而去年的提法呢是稳妥推进房地产税立法，今年呢把稳妥推进改为稳步推进，这意味着房地产税立法工作或已有推进的步骤。那么李克强的最新提法是否表示房地产税的相关立法已经势在必行？房地产税为什么牵动官民的神经？它将如何影响中国的家家户户和经济的方方面面？那么今晚时事大家谈的现场讨论为您邀请了两位嘉宾，一位呢是旅美经济学家时政分析人士夏业良博士，夏博士您好。
你好。
好，另外一位呢是维吉尼亚大学商学院副教授陈昭辉先生，陈博士您好。
你好，肖老师好，大家好。
好的，我们非常的欢迎两位，同时呢也欢迎各位听众观众和网友通过 VOA 卫视在 YouTube 的网上直播收看并且加入我们的现场讨论，网址呢是 youtube.com/VOAChina。 那么首先呢我们请问这个夏业良博士啊，就是刚才我们在导语中说到了这个稳妥推进变为了这个稳步推进，那么一字之差呢是引发了这个分析人士非常敏锐的观察，那么是不是说这次的这个房地产税至少它的这个立法呢就是人们已经喊了很久的这个狼来了，这次狼真的来了，夏教授。
对，这个关于房地产税的讨论呢，印象中是经历了很长的时间，就是大约这个10年前就已经开始说这个要出台房地产税，但是具体什么时候出台，什么时候具体的实施，有各种不同的说法。比如有些人说2022年、2023年可能才能正式实施。在这之前只是预热，让大家有这样一个心理准备。那么这次呢好像这个步骤加快了，大家现在的预期是明年可以正式实施。所以现在呢我们觉得这个确实是感觉的这个整个的氛围是加快了这个步骤，所以它这个稳妥发展和稳步发展那一字之差就显示出这个时态，这种这个态度是比较积极的啊，而且很快就要实施，所以我们这个看呢，目前的氛围是呼之欲出啊，就是已经非常的逼近了。
好的，谢谢夏教授啊。那么接下来陈教授，我想问您，就是说到这个房地产税立法的问题呢，就是说从立法到真正的能够放到市场上付诸实施，把这个房产税从这个住房拥有者的口袋里掏出来，放到这个地方政府的这个口袋里，这个中间呢应该还有一段时间的这个时间差。那么这段时间的话呢，就是说您认为会有多长？那么它对于这个住房拥有者来说意味着什么？
这段时间呢，我认为呢，就是当然就是要看具体的这个经济情况了。按照目前的经济情况来看呢，我觉得可能不会太长。为什么呢？因为现在国内的这个就是说是房价呢，已经是很高了，现在各个地方都进行限价什么的，然后另外一个方向呢，就是现在国内的这个房地产的发展呢，是这个政府呢，各级政府包括中央政府呢，也是比较限制，就是不让他们建的太多，不让把这个泡沫做的太大，所以说的话，这个时候呢，我认为是个比较好的时机呢，它能够增加这个房产税，这样的话它就可以就自然比较自然的就能把这个房价呢就可以就是打压下去一点，所以说我认为这个时间呢可能不会太长。
好的，谢谢陈教授。那么夏博士，我想再问您，就是说呢，事实上李克强他在政府工作报告中把这个稳妥改成了稳步之后呢，接下来好像是上个星期五栗战书呢，就是人大人大这个委员长栗战书他也讲到了说要加紧这些工作确保如期的完成。那么当时他是在星期五，那么他一讲完这个话之后呢，中国的股市已经结束，在香港的这个股市上反应是非常的激烈，像中国几大这个房地产的 的龙头股，比方说是碧桂园、万科、恒大等等，是大幅的这个下跌。那么从这个现象来看呢，就说房地产税所引发的这个金融市场的任何的这个波动的话，会不会也让中国政府使得会成为这个中国政府真正的把这个房地产税实施的一个障碍呢？
这个倒不会，因为中国下定决心要推行和实施房地产税，不会因为这个引起市场上的恐慌，就会停止或者延后，这个不太可能。已经过去多少年已经打了提前的预防针，那么他们的一个立法依据就是说房地产泡沫非常严重，这是他们的一般的判断。他们的房地产泡沞严重呢，其中有一个重要的指标，他们的说法就是现在中国的这个住房啊，用按套数来算的话，多达5亿套之多。那么中国只有14亿人口，那意思就是说基本上是够用了，够住了。但是呢，它这里面忽略了一个很大的问题，就是说结构性的这种矛盾短缺还是非常严重的。也就是说，有的人比如说贪官富商，他们可能一个人就拥有几十套上百套住宅，而有一些青年到现在连一套基本的住宅都没有办法，无力去支付，所以这种情况是非常突出的。那不能简单的看说这个套数已经建成了多少套数就市场已经饱和了。就是我们看到，一方面对有些人来说他是过多的占有了这些房屋资源，而另外一方面呢又非常的稀缺。所以呢，这个就是在经济学里边来讲的话是一个最为常见的，也就是说为什么要有经济学研究，就是因为稀缺总是存在的。那么这种稀缺的矛盾到底是如何解决？是通过房地产税就可以调节了吗？其实大家都知道，在中国有些富商，有些这个贪官拥有那么多套房产，其实不仅仅是因为有这样一个说是有人说就是因为没有房地产税他们才拥有多套房屋，假如说有了房地产税他们就不会拥有多套房屋了。其实这个话我并不是完全同意，我认为会有相当大的影响，但是也不是说就这一个招数就能解决所有的问题。打个比方说，贪官他所有的钱都是来的非常容易的，都是人家送来的，他的钱有的时候按吨来计算，堆在库房里边从来都不去用。所以说呢，你就算收房地产税，就算他每年增加了成本，还是有源源不断的人贿赂他，所以他可以不在乎。他如果他拥有100套房屋，他不想出售的话，他是可以不出售，是吧？所以对于老百姓来讲，对于中产阶级家庭、普通的工薪阶层来讲的话，如果你房地产税你增收了，人家家里边好不容易才有2套房屋啊，或者是有一些为了孩子上学方便，或者是为了老人居住方便，又可能又买了其他的房屋，那这样的话呢，负担是非常沉重的。所以呢，我觉得中国政府在制定这些相关法律的时候，应该参照美国和西方一些国家的这个做法，还要考虑到家庭的情况，考虑到实际的情况，就是有扣除啊，有福利上的一些考虑，真正根据老百姓的实际需要来制定房地产税，而不是一刀切。所以我觉得这个问题呢需要细化，房地产税呢这个制定不应该那么简单单一的这个一刀切，一定要有针对性的，分成不同的族群来。我说的这个族群指的不是民族的族群，而是指的不同的有着不同需求特点的社会人群来加以区分。
嗯哼，好，谢谢夏先生。那么陈博士，我想问问您，就是刚才夏先生谈到这一点呢，是非常的一个非常敏锐的这观察，就是说平均值呢其实并不意味着什么。那么说到这个平均值呢，讲一个这个坊间说的笑话，就是说如果把姚明和潘长江加起来除以2，这个潘长江身高变成了1.98米，这对潘长江来说有意义吗？是不是？我想问您呢，就是说呢，就是中国政府如果是进行了这个房地产税的这个征收呢，对于刚才夏教授说的，他认为对于房这个对于一些这个低层次某些特别层次的这个房地产的这稀缺的状况，其实是起不到应该起到的作用。那您有什么看法呢？您觉得能有什么办法能够起到这个调控的作用呢？
我基本上赞同夏老师的那个观点征这个税的话呢，总归要最切记的就是什么呢？就是说是劫穷，就是济富就是说是你是广大的老百姓，都是买房子都是为了自己住的，这是刚需。然后的话呢，你是征税呢，实际上是这些人呢付了大头，这个就比较不好。 所以说的话呢，就是这个征税的时候应该考虑，就比方说家庭的收入啦，比方说是你的房子，如果说你只有一套，那确实是刚需。在这种情况下呢，是不是能够考虑就是免征起码就是少征一点吧，就是这些因素应该考虑啊。对于那些就是说是像向老师说的，有如果说有几十套、上百套的这些人呢，你挣得多一点呢，我认为是这个比较合理的事情。所以说的话呢，就是在这个税则的制定上面呢，要很小心。但是同时呢，也就是说是一旦出现这种情况，就出现什么情况呢？就是你一旦是把这个税则制得过细呢，就会造成了给别人钻空子的机会。什么意思呢？就是那很多人就会想办法，而且化整为零，就是我有一百套房子，然后我就把它化整了，就是找100个人来代持，然后的话呢，每个人呢就变成了就变成只有一套房子，然后这样的话就可以少征甚至是不征了。就这个呢是个很难平衡的一个问题。
这个夏教授，我想问您，事实上呢，说到这个房地产税，刚才您在节目开头的时候也谈到，就是说这个税呢已经喊了十几年，做了足够的这个铺垫和宣传，人们呢是有思想准备的。那么事实上呢，是不仅于此，其实我们看到呢，在2011年开始呢，在上海和重庆等地呢，已经实施了这样一个试验项目，就是对于房地产征税。那么这个项目呢，据说实施下来好像效果不太明显。那么能不能请夏博士来给我们解释一下？
首先我们讲从立法的这种依据来讲，有很多是不合理的。大家知道中国的这个房地产市场，尤其是土地，中国呢是不是说它是私有土地，而是国有土地。另外那个房屋的所有权，这个只有70年的产权。那么70年到期的话，就是说还要再重新的来按照市场价格重新评估，重新出钱来购买。所以说这里边就有一个问题，就是说这个土地所有权它跟西方国家不一样的，就是人家买了这个房子就是永久性，有处置权，有继承权，可以世世代代传下去。而中国呢，很多人买到房子拿到房产证的时候，手中的这种产权期限可能只剩下50-60年，因为这个房地产开发以及拿到相关这个批准的证件的时间拖延很长。那么只有50-60年时间，你让大家要出这么多的跟西方一样比肩的这种房地产税，那当然是不合理。就是从法理上来讲，就是有你光是跟别人去学那些表面的东西，别人有的你要有，但是别人没有的，或者别人已经有的这些东西，有些方面呢你又没有去彻底的去学习。所以呢这个方面我觉得可能只是单一的采取对中国政府有利的这样的一种收税的方式。还有呢，你刚才讲到在这个重庆啊，在有些地方过去已经开始了试点。那么试点呢，在一两个城市里面试点呢，可能大家听到了消息会有一些发生一些波动，市场的波动啊，或者其他的一些处置。但是呢毕竟它没有真正的实施到这个到位。所以我在想，就是说美国呢，它这个房地产税啊，它是根据各个州的情况，每个州有每个州的税率。你比如说有的州非常的低，有的州呢高达3%+，所以呢这个区域性的差异还是比较大的。那中国这么大的一个国家，贫富差距很大，也应该至少要分成若干个区域，按照不同的区域来进行这个房地产的定价，这个房地产税的这种征收。那么这个到底是按省一级的，还是按这个城市，比如说35个中心城市，还是按照什么样的区域来划分，这个可能需要更细的研究工作。可能美国的这种按州收税的这个方式在中国并不合适，因为在中国呢这个人口密集度很高，比如说有的省一个省里边的它的贫富差距有可能也很明显。那么还有一些地方呢是人口密度比较低的，你比如说像这个新疆啊、青海啊、西藏啊这些地方，所以呢都不能够简单的按照同一标准来做。所以我想这个恐怕这个试点，如果要是讲过去试点还不够成熟、不够多的话，那么近期应该加紧的试点来做一个切实的考察，从各个方面去考量它能够产生的正面的或者负面的效应。
好的，谢谢夏教授。那么陈先生，我想问您，就是说呢，那么有一个这个说到房地产税之后呢，就有人普遍在提一个问题，就是说这个房地产税如果征收之后，这个会不会影响到这个房屋市场的这个价格？那么如果是影响的话，是升还是降，或者是完全不会影响？那么是为什么呢？
这个影响我想应该是会有影响的啊，就是可能短期不会，但是我觉得长期肯定会。等大家真正意识到了这个房地产税的这个真正的效果以后，它会对房价有影响的啊。首先就是升降的问题嘛，那这个是明显的，就是除非它有其他的措施了啊，那肯定是降的。为什么呢？因为你是等于说是把钱从那个买房子的人的口袋里面拿出去，就像你刚才说的一样的，这样的话总归是对这个房子不好的嘛。所以说的话呢，这个房价应该是会降的啊。这个也是就是为什么就是房产税要征收的一个很大的原因，就是什么？要从那个土地的那个出让费，把这部分的财政收入呢要转到从拥有房屋拥有者的手里面拿出来。所以说的话这个对房价的影响是肯定是有的，而且应该是负面的啊。现在的话我们应该看不出来，为什么呢？因为最近的那个国内的房价呢，起码主要大城市呢都是进行一些限购和溢价措施，所以说的话呢，现在真正的价格呢就是大家都看不到的。实际上我认为可能真正的价格呢比现在真正的成交价格呢可能要高得多。所以说的话一旦那个房地产税征收以后，它可能这方面的就是限制房价的措施呢会相应减少。所以说的话大家呢可能感觉不到这个房价有多大的变化但是长期来说以后大家真正看出来了，而且这些平抑物价平抑房价的措施已经取消了差不多了，那大家应该会真正看得出来的。
好，接下来呢我想请问夏教授，那么说到这个房地产税呢，也有人提出就是说这个房地产税呢它如果实施之后呢中国政府的这个调控的政策会不会有所变化？
我想不会，因为现有的行政收费它不会减少，它又增加新的项目，所以现在最近大家感受到的就是苛捐杂税特别的多，这个有一些呢换了名目又死灰复燃，所以讲过去开玩笑说共产党万岁，现在这个税字呢要改成税收的税。那么我们知道农民的这个过去说减轻农民负担，把农民的这个税给取消掉以后呢，大家很高兴，但是现在呢这个好景不长啊，现在那个又回来了，据说这个农业土地耕地的使用税现在又要出了，就是有新的名目来这个死灰复燃。那么刚才讲到房地产税的这个问题呢，就是说有在中国有一个说法，就是说你房地产要达到这个什么样的市场价值然后才开始起征。过去有一个提法说80万元起征，就是说你这个房屋假如说在市场上价值超过80万元，那超过的部分开始征收，还是说这个所有的房屋不管它的价值如何都是起征？如果真的按照这个刚才说的这种说法，如果80万元，那这个我觉得是一个静态的定义，不合适。我觉得比较好的方式呢，就是每一年要对房地产进行评估，就像我一样，但是呢你要根据当地的收入情况进行比较。打个比方说你某一个城市它这个年平均收入是15万元人民币，那你至少起征点应该考虑到在20倍，也就是说300万元起征，对于这个城市来说才是比较合适的。那么我觉得每一年要进行这个新的评估，要有专业的权威机构，也就是第三方机构来进行土地价值的评估，房地产的评估。现在中国大部分的这个评估机构都是官方的，也就是说是政府提供这样的评估，这是不太合理的。因为政府本身有一种利益驱动，这个利益驱动呢就是说他始终想这个多收税，想多获得这个财政收入，但是这个财政收入呢又不受监控，他怎么来使用是一个非常大的问题，不是公开的透明的。所以呢大家讲这个钱你收去了拿这个钱干什么了？是盖更加豪华的大楼，更加这个铺张的这个浪费宴席，还是说更豪华的车辆等等？所以这些东西呢一定要搞清楚，就是大家这个交的这个税真的是取之于民用之于民，而不是说让官员让你们特殊阶层去消费去浪费的。
好的，谢谢夏教授。那么接下来陈先生，我跟你请问您，就是说呢一说到这个房地产税呢，我想看到基本上绝大多数专家都说这个房地产税这个立法呢是非常的这个复杂而耗时的，那么我想问问您这个其中呢是原因在哪里？
这个原因呢，就像刚才我们已经讨论过的一些原因，就是说具体情况要具体分析，就是首先呢，就是是地区性的差异啊，所以说的话，你要给就是各个地区应该什么样的标准、什么样的税则呢？应该是不一样。但是呢，你又不能太那个有弹性，这样的如果有弹性的话呢，那很多人就会钻这个空子，所以说这个就是一个其中很难解决的问题。还有一个问题呢，就是说什么呢？就是你必须要建立一些就是信息系统了，就是谁有到底有多少房，你要把落实每一个房子，你要把它落实下去啊，它的那个拥有者是谁，真正的拥有者是谁，然后的话呢，你才能开始然后的话每个人的收入啊什么这些这些都要和这个房子要连在一起，然后呢按照各种情况呢来进行那个征收，所以说的话呢，就是建立这个信息系统也是个很庞大的工程啊。还有的话呢，就是说是你要提前预防这些钻空子的人，就是说就像我刚才说的，如果说是我有几套房子，我把它就是化整为零，我把它分开了，就是让其他人、让亲戚熟人啊去这些代持，这样的话呢，会造成了一些那个征税的就是不方便了。所以说的话，你要怎么防止这些情况的发生？就是说等等这些过程，不单单是从就是立法这个机构这个角度来看，关键的是要什么呢？你要把这个基本的这个结构要建立起来啊。当然，同时呢，你还得雇很多人。我不知道这个现在这个房地产税是得有谁来收，是不是还是以前的这个国税局或者是地税局或者是什么其他的机构来征收啊？要建立这个班子，也是一个很复杂的问题。
好，那么接下来陈先生，我想问您，事实上的讲到这个房地产的问题，那么还有就是刚才夏先生也提到了关于中国的这个几线城市的这个差别啊。那么事实上我看到一个分析，就是说呢，在从现在开始呢，他这个分析他认为这个一线城市呢，还有三四线城市的这个住宅市场呢，估计可能会回落，而只有在这个二线城市呢，会出现一个相反的，就是会出现一个是上升的这么一个趋势。那么它的原因呢，就主要说二线城市呢，现在是这个随着国家的都市圈建设还有人口落户政策的这样一些刺激措施呢，这个二线城市的房地产呢会得到一些这个更大的这个发展。那么您不知道同不同意这个看法？
因为这个中国这个房地产市场呢，老实说呢，不是一个真正的就是自由市场啊，它受政府的那个干预是非常大的啊。我举几个例子，就是在2015年、2016年的时候啊，有很多城市呢有些发展就是房地产有些困难，就比方说是当时在无锡啊这些地方，它的那个房子呢就是卖不出去啊，就是库存过多了啊，就包括现在可能都还大家都一直就是比较有名的，就像鄂尔多斯的康巴什啊这些地方啊。都有这个很大的问题，但是呢，这些房价呢都没有太降得太厉害，因为各地政府呢，就是为了确保自己的经济发展，还是确保自己的银行不受到毁灭性的打击，所以说呢，都在想办法呢来支撑它就所以说呢，就造成了什么问题呢？到后来呢，这些问题呢都解决了就说这些一开始买房子炒楼的人结果都解套了还有一个更好的例子呢，就是杭州前一段时间几年前呢也发生过这个情况就确实就是因为它的过度发展呢，所以说这个房价呢就跌下来，一旦跌下来的话呢，那早买的那些房主呢就去抗议，到售楼处去砸售楼处去抗议这些东西在全世界的那个媒体上都报道出来了，结果呢他们那个市政府市委的领导呢想了办法呢，想尽一切办法呢就把这个房价不但稳住了，而且的话涨的还引发了又新的一轮涨势，最后造成什么呢？就造成这个房价不但没有降，结果涨得跟那个一线城市也差不多。所以说的话，你说这个是二线城市会不会涨这个是完全可能的就是因为它现在是捂着不让它涨已经很长时间了，比方说举个例子像成都啊重庆这些城市，我觉得他们涨是完全是情理之中的，但是呢可能政府呢还是拼命捂着它不涨， 但即便说是小城市三线四线，同样的情况也在发生。政府的话呢，很不愿意让自己的房价跌的。
好的，
不让它涨。
好的，好。总而言之呢，这个一切呢，都这个牌都抓在政府的手里。好的，今天时事大家谈的讨论呢，到这里就结束了。我们非常感谢夏叶良博士和陈昭慧博士来到节目中。时事大家谈是自由论坛，嘉宾和听众观众发表的是个人观点，不代表美国之音。明天时事大家谈呢，将与您探讨美中较量全球化，各国是否开始选边站，请您按时锁定。我是宇宙，祝您晚安，我们下次节目再见。